Well, we're in the middle of a series where Pastor Mike has been leading us through this idea of re-gifting. And if you haven't had a chance to check out the series, I invite you to check out our YouTube channel and go back and watch each and every one of them. Each one of them reveals something new about the heart of God. But this morning, I want to start off with a story about whenever I was younger and my parents were trying to teach us the art of gifting. And it didn't always go as best as planned, but they tried. And I remember one year in particular, I think I was in junior high, and I'm the youngest of three children, and I have a sister who's 2 years older than me and a brother who's 5 years older than me. And I'll never forget gathering around the Christmas tree and opening up different presents. And one of the challenges was that we didn't really get much of an allowance. We didn't really get, you know, a whole lot of stuff. And so we often tried to scrape together what little money that we had to go buy maybe a trinket, or maybe we would make something, or we would give out of something that we had that was maybe valuable to us. And so I was curious to see what I was going to get. And I remember opening the gift from my brother, and I opened it up and I pulled it out. And at first I was so excited. It was a Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt. But as I lifted it up, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And my brother's like, what? I was like, this is my sweatshirt. And he was like, no, it's not. It's mine. I'm giving it to you. I was like, no, you're giving me my own sweatshirt back. And he was like, no, that can't be. And I was like, I am dead serious. Didn't you recognize that it was too small? And he was like, oh, well, that explains it. I couldn't believe it. There were just so many mixed emotions. And whenever I think about re-gifting, this is what I often think about. That kind of that almost like that icky feeling of, man, maybe I'm going to get something that I don't really like. Or maybe in my brother's case, like I'm going to give something that is just going to be maybe less than. Not as perfect as I want it to be. And we have that sort of shame that what we have isn't enough. And we feel this feeling of inadequacy. And maybe you are feeling that way now. Maybe there's something that in you that you just feel like, you know, Pastor Ryan, I just don't feel like enough for whatever I'm facing. Maybe in receiving or in the giving, or just in the middle of life. Maybe at work this week, you're feeling so completely overwhelmed for the task at hand, and you just feel inadequate. Or maybe it's in a relationship that's just not going the way that you wished that it would. And as much as you try, you continue to feel this distance, this pulling, this separation, and you try and you just can't make it work. And now you're at the point of going, maybe I should just give up. I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to make it right, or maybe I can't make it right. I just feel inadequate. There's so many areas of life where sometimes we feel inadequate. Maybe we're in the midst of feeling that right now. We realize we're in the midst of a pandemic and we can't control the outcome. We can't control politics. We can't control so many things in our life where we feel that word, inadequate. And it just makes us feel sad, and we wish that we could do more. And maybe it's that our churches are struggling, or maybe it's our friends slowly drifting away from their walk with the Lord, and we don't know how to change it. But the problem with inadequacy is that it often leads us to a scarcity mindset. Well, what's a scarcity mindset? A scarcity mindset is where we feel like in life there are so few resources. Think of a really good apple pie. And there's only so much of it, and we're not sure that we really want to share it because there's not going to be enough for me. And so we try to hold on to ours because, you know, if I share, there might not be enough. This idea was popularized a few years ago by a man by the name of Stephen Covey. But it means that when there's a scarcity mindset, that we desperately hold on to that which we have because we're afraid there isn't enough to go around. And we fight others for power. We fight others for control. We want to hold on. And then we buy things to impress people that we don't maybe even like, just because we want to keep up this image. We want to keep up this front. We want to keep doing what we're doing because we're so desperate to hold on to that which we have. And then when things don't go well, that's when we begin to make excuses. And we say, well, but I don't have enough blank. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. Well, I didn't have enough people on my team. Or I didn't have enough resources. We feel like we have to make bricks without straw. And it's exhausting. It's no way to live. And it leaves us feeling this sense of deep inadequacy. And we just go, you know what? I might as well just give up. I might as well just walk away. I can't do all of this on my own. But what if? What if God wants to change our way of thinking? What if God has a lesson in all of this for us? What if God wants to change our mindsets and our way of doing life to set us free to live differently? This morning, I invite you to grab your Bibles, open your Bible app, and follow along with the sermon notes there, because I believe that God wants to show us something that sets us free to a completely different mindset, a completely different way of living. A few years ago, when I was a young leader, at the age of 22, I was leading a missions trip of other young adults, and I felt inadequate to lead and do what was being asked of me. And I'll never forget, one of my leaders came to me and shared this truth from Scripture. And I'm excited to share it with you because I believe that it has so changed my way of thinking, and I want it to change each and every one of us. It comes from the book of 2 Peter. And so as we open it, as we reflect on this, I want to set the stage just a little bit. Peter is writing from his prison cell in Rome, and he's writing to the churches in Asia. And he's saying to them that these churches that are feeling overwhelmed by the false teachers, overwhelmed by the culture around them, overwhelmed by all that is going on, that they feel inadequate. And Peter writes these words that still ring true today from 2 Peter 1:3. Speaking of God here, he says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life, through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness." Now, there's a couple of things that stand out to that just, I think we need to dig in and just resonate in for a minute. First, it's God's power. His divine power is the one that gives us all that we need. It's not something that we have to conjure up in our own strength. That God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. This is exactly what Pastor Mike has been preaching on these last couple of weeks. So if you didn't get a chance to hear those messages, go and just sit with that about the gifts of God's Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is able to do inside of each and every one of us. But it's God's work in us that gives us this authority, this power, this grace, and this strength to press in even when we feel inadequate. He goes on to say, it's his divine power that has given us everything, everything. There is no lack. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 50, verse 10, says, "He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I," speaking of God, says, "I know every bird on the mountains, and all of the animals are mine." All of it is God. He has created all of this. He owns it all. And when we follow him, he makes it available to us. Everything that we need. Secondly, everything that we need. It's not just about I. It's not just about me. You know, sometimes whenever I feel alone, when I feel like I can't do this on my own, those are the moments that I need to remember that it's a we, that there's a community, that I can reach out for help, that I can ask my brothers and sisters, and maybe someone else has exactly what I need in my moments of feeling alone. That everything that we need is available to us. And then finally, everything that we need, that it's not everything that I want. That it's not just the latest thing, or that I can't just pray a magical prayer and get a Maserati. That might be nice, but, or maybe you want a truck, I don't know. Whatever it is, but it's not all of our wants. And I have a lot of them. But it's in these moments that God reminds me that everything that I need for a godly life, He has given me. That He understands that there is a grace, and sometimes I need to let go of my wants. But God is calling me to lean in to His presence, to His goodness, to His power, to His authority, to all that He wants to give me. That God wants to break off this sense of a scarcity mindset. God wants to give us an abundance mindset. Scarcity says there isn't enough. I need to hold on to my time, my money, my energy, because I might need it. But an abundance mindset refers to this paradigm shift that reminds us that there is plenty enough for everyone, that there will be enough, that we will find a way if we just give it a try. You know, I may not be enough, but we together and in partnership with God, there is always enough. And I know what you may be thinking. Just like me, so often I go, but you don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't feel like I'm enough. I feel inadequate. And I felt that way a lot in the last year, in the last months, and even in the last week. But one of the first rules of interpreting Scripture is to read Scripture in the context of all of Scripture. And so one of the best ways to understand the Scripture is to look at maybe another story in Scripture. And so I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. And in Exodus chapter 3, God comes to Moses in the burning bush. And God is speaking to Moses, and he's sharing with him, and he's saying all of these things that he's going to do. He's going to set his people free. And we want to stand up and we want to yell, freedom! But that's not what Moses does. No, Moses is more like us, and he just goes, but God, it's just me. I can't do this. I'm inadequate. And he begins to make excuses. And so let's pick up the story in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. You see, Moses felt just like me and you. He felt inadequate. He started off with a lack, and he begins to remind God. He's like, don't you know that I have a speech impediment? I can't lead these people. He begins to remind God of his past, and he's like, don't you remember back in Egypt? I killed somebody. I'm a murderer. There's a warrant out for my arrest. But God just reminds him that God is calling him, that God will use him. And the God asked him one simple question. What's in your hand? And it's just a simple stick. It's a simple everyday thing that God turned into one of the most iconic symbols of his leadership and of his presence and authority. Later, God would use that same stick to bring water out of a rock and to part the sea. What is in your hand? Let's pay attention to this question, because for Moses, it was a simple stick. It was just the simple things that he had on him. It could be the most simple, basic thing that God is asking us. What's in your hand? What are the resources that you do have? Instead of looking at what we don't have, what are the things that we have? And that's the question that God asks Moses. What's in your hand? What are the things that you have that are available to you? But it may not just be a physical thing, it may also be a spiritual thing. It may be something more than you could think or imagine. It could be something that's inside of us. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says this, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's God's truth inside of us. It's one of the greatest gifts that's in our hands. We see this played out in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus is working with his disciples and he sends the 72 out to the places that he himself intends to go. And he sends them out with almost nothing, just the clothes on their back, the staff in their hand, and the shoes on their feet. And he says to them, "Go, be my witnesses." And Jesus knows that it's enough, because he knows that they've got the gospel in their hearts, and they go and they heal the sick and they preach the good news because it's what's in their hand. Again, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, we see this cosmic battle between good and evil, and we see Satan being thrown and cast out of heaven, and we see this battle. And how did they win this battle? It says this. It says they triumphed over him, over Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, because they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Brothers and sisters, there is far more in our power in our testimony than we realize. There is so much more in our hands and in our hearts that God wants to give each and every one of us for his honor and his glory. You have everything that you need. What is the vision that God has placed on your heart this year? What are the things that God wants to call us to? If 2020 taught us anything, it reminds us that the normal patterns of control, those things that we normally turn to, don't work. We can't just lean into power or to politics or into finances or friends. We've mostly been quarantined or even our health. All of those things can be stripped away in an instant. But instead of looking at the lack of what we don't have, God asks us this question: what's in your hand? What do you have? And with God, that those few small things become an abundance. They become enough. And God asks us this question of, what has God entrusted you with, which is meant to be gifted to someone else? It may be your time. It may be prayer. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be a little bit of money. This last week, it may be pizza. It could be a variety of different things that we give to God, and we begin to bless those who are around us. What ministry have you always wanted to be a part of? And you think, you know, we hold ourselves back and we say, I can't do that. And God's going, what's the influence? What's in your hand? What could you use? How could you pray? How could you contribute? Maybe it's a simple, small thing, but it's one step of obedience, leaning into what God has wanted you to be a part of. In this last year, the church buildings have closed, but the church has never closed, because the church isn't a building. It's a people. It's God's people stepping out in obedience, in creativity, in newness of ways, reaching our neighbors and reaching our community. What are the little things that God has entrusted you with? It could be a simple stick for Moses. For David, it was 5 smooth stones before Goliath. For the little boy who brought his 5 loaves and fishes, God fed the thousands. For the widow, it was her 2 small coins. It was the widow's mite. And maybe for the little drummer boy, it was playing his song. Oh, wait, that's not in scripture. But it's still a great story. There are so many things. It's us just bringing the little things that we have before God and using them for his honor and his glory. What is in your hand? It's time for us to stop doubting ourselves. Stop belittling yourself and stop beating yourself up. Stop belittling the very thing that God created, you, for his honor and for his glory. One of my favorite verses from the book of 1 and 2 Peter is earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Peter is writing to these same people and he's encouraging them. And he says this, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so my question to you is, what is your story? What are those things that God wants to use? You know, sometimes our greatest gift is our brokenness. It's the broken things that God wants to use for his honor, for his glory. Again, in scripture, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." You know, so often when we're struggling and we're struggling with something, those aren't the moments that we want some perfect person to just walk into our lives and say, "Let me tell you all that you're doing wrong." No, we don't want that. I don't want some like perfect person who has the spiritual gift of "I told you so." No, that it's in those moments that we need some other person to walk into to our lives and sit with us and say, "I've been there." And to share their brokenness, to share their moments where God met me. Yes, we may need a doctor, but what better to have a doctor who's got expertise who also has been in our shoes? So often we just need somebody to share their brokenness, to sit with us, to listen with us, and to use that. Maybe God's asking you, what's in your hand? What's that brokenness that you can use? What's that story? What's that gift that you can use to be multiplied for God's grace, for his goodness, and for someone else? You know, just this last couple of weeks, I remember sitting in recovery, and I remember hearing that one guy share, and he said, "I have something to share, and it's deeply shameful, and it's really painful, and I don't want to share it, but I need to share it. I need to share it for my own healing. But I also believe in me sharing it, that somebody else needs to hear this too." Brothers and sisters, let's not just wait for recovery meetings. Let's let this be the story of the church, where we begin to share out of the abundance of God's grace in our lives, out of our stories, out of the simple things that we have, that God would use them to multiply us. This morning, I believe God is asking this one simple question: what is in your hand? I want to circle back to the very beginning where we started, to this story of regifting. And I want us to think of it in a slightly different way this morning. Instead of regifting out of the lack, how do we regift out of an abundance? Regifting out of coming from a place of we have more than we would ever imagine. So I want to close with two stories. The first is from this last week. I often get up before my wife in the mornings, and one of the first things that I do in my grogginess is start a pot of coffee. And for us, I make a pot of hot water, and then I make a nice French press of hot, wonderful deliciousness. And then I pour myself a cup, and I let my wife sleep in. So I put hers in a travel mug, and I seal it, and I put it by her bed for whenever she's ready. And I went off to work this day, and I came back at the end of the day, and I asked her, "So how was your coffee?" And she was like, it was great. And I drank all that I wanted. And so I went to clean her mug, and I opened it, and I was like, "You only drank 2 sips. And I was almost hurt. I was almost offended. I was like, "This is really good coffee. It was given to us as a gift from Hawaii. This is like, you only drank 2 sips? And she's like, "Oh, I thought I drank most all of it." And in that moment, I was like, God reminded me, Ryan, how often is this you? How often is our cup more full than we realize, and yet we simply just don't drink deeply? We don't drink enough of what God so longs to give us. I was almost hurt that she didn't drink it all. And I believe that sometimes God is going, Ryan, I'm almost hurt because there's more than you can imagine. And yet we hold back, or we feel like it's not enough, or we save it for later until it gets cold. And God's going, there's more from where that comes from. And maybe that's you this morning. And I want to challenge you and say, drink deeply of God's grace and his love in your life. And I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. Maybe you're just kind of taking that first sip this morning. I believe that God would want to say to you, drink deep. Taste and see that the Lord is good, that he has more than you could possibly imagine. There is an abundance. Everything he has is yours, and it's enough. The second story I wanted to share this morning as we close is a story from a few years ago whenever I was a missions pastor and I was traveling, and I went to a missions conference in the Philippines. And for this particular conference, instead of putting us up in hotel rooms, they put us in host families. And this was a great idea because then we got to really connect with the local culture. We got to meet people and hear their stories. And instead of just going home and crashing in our hotel room, we got to really engage. And so after a nice Filipino dinner, they took me to my room and they showed me the room where I was going to spend my night. And in that moment, I was taken back because they gave me their room. They had cleaned, they had tidied up, they had made the bed perfectly, they had done everything. And I almost stopped. I was in shock and I was like, no. I wanted to stop them. I didn't want to take this generous gift because I realized they were giving me the best that they had. And I felt overwhelmed and I thought, you know, maybe if I just went to that hotel room, I wouldn't be an inconvenience to this family. But then God reminded me, you know, if I went to that hotel room, I probably never would have remembered that. But it was in that moment that they, in their authenticity, gave me the best that they had, that it blessed me more than I could ever imagine. I never forgot the generosity of that Filipino family. That's one of the things that I love about Filipino culture. And if any of you know anybody who's Filipino, you know that Filipino culture is very generous. But the gift became even more generous because they gave all that they had. They gave the best of which they had. Brothers and sisters, if we as a church just learn to be more like that Filipino family, I believe that as we become authentic, real, and honest, and as we lay our best gifts on the altar, as we look at what's in our hand and as we lay it on the altar, it actually becomes more extravagant. Do you guys remember that story in scripture where that really, really rich person took one of their bottles of really expensive perfume and anointed Jesus' feet? No? Oh, it's because it's not in the scriptures. It's a story of a woman who took the best of what she had, the little of what she had, and she extravagantly poured it on Jesus' feet. And that is exactly why it's recorded, because she gave the best of what she had. Brothers and sisters, when we take what little we have, when we take the best that's in our hands, and we lay it before him, that's when it becomes beautiful. That's when it becomes authentic. And that's when it becomes enough. There is an abundance in God's kingdom if we just take the simple stick, the simple stones, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we give it to God, and he multiplies it for his kingdom purposes. And that's what it means to re-gift the gospel. And I don't know where you are this morning, but if I can just speak to you for just a second, I want you to say, God has something special for you. If you will just take what's in your hand and give it to him, he will multiply it and do more than you can ever think, ask, or imagine. God wants to use you right now, right in the midst of this season. Our world needs authentic believers and followers of Jesus leaning into him now more than ever. So many times I pull back because I feel like I'm not enough. And God wants us to lean into him and say, it's enough. Moses was enough in spite of all of his lack. David and each and every person, Esther, Ruth, all of these people were giants of the faith, not because they were great, but because together with God, there was an abundance and there was enough. And you and I get to be a part of that story and we get to lean into. So my question to us this morning is, what's in your hand? So as we close in prayer, I invite you just to open your hands before God and just think about the things, that the resources and the things that we do have. Instead of coming from a place of lack, come from a place of abundance and think about what we do have. And let's lift it to God. Father God, I just thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for the worship songs of the new wine and the new things that you want to do. God, I thank you for the story of Moses that reminds us that what's in our hand is enough. What's in our heart, your word that you have hidden in our hearts is enough. Our testimony, our story, our brokenness is enough. It's more than enough. And so, Lord God, I pray that you fill us afresh and anew with your confidence, with your grace from the words of Peter, that all that we have is more than enough. And may we lean into you, and may we be surrounded by your grace, your truth, and your mercy this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I love you guys. I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for letting me share from my heart to you. And I hope that you receive this morning and know that together with God, all that we have is enough. Be blessed this week.